The following program is rated TV-MAL. It contains strong language and is intended only for mature audiences.
TBS, America's number one independent television network, presents the following sports exclusive.
You're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports.
Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.
And check out every episode of the show at basicallysports.tumblr.com.
Now here's your hosts, Zach,
Greg,
Mike.
And this is Andy, and you're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Gotten it real close tonight, folks. So let me turn my camera off here.
Yeah, that was rough. That was about as tight as it's gotten.
I know. Let me shut my camera off.
And Greg has left the broadcast. And hello, everybody. I'm just going to be holding things down here for a minute. This evening has been rife with various technical problems, namely with Greg's microphone. So I'll let him sort that out. He has disappeared into the ether.
I'm back.
There he is. All right. Hello.
I had that new headset last week, and everything was still set to that. So when I went back to my old one, nothing was set up right, and I didn't realize that. And that's where we ran into the problem at the start here. So,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, Mike and Zach are also
showed up. We'll throw him next. There's Zach.
Hello.
Or not. First one, folks, 530 shows later.
So, I mean, like, while he's sorting things out, Greg, I guess we can kick things off. Just, I know you're not necessarily a Browns fan. Hello. There's Zach.
I'm an absolute Browns fan. Have been my whole, yeah.
Well, this is like sort of a weird bastard iteration of the Browns. But
true.
So, like, Zach last week, you know, it was kind of an elegy for the loss to the Jets. Now it's your turn. I know the Browns were like, what? The Browns had like no receivers.
No,
their tackles were out.
Circumstances. Yeah.
The Rams had no excuse, but the Browns certainly had some excuses. But still, like Jesus Christ,
I want to point out. I think it was about a month ago we were talking about the Browns. I said that Jets game scares me to death. I told you guys back then.
But that's when you were very much. Oh, the Browns are actually bad. Don't look at the record. But now we're like, oh, they're actually good.
But here's the thing, fellas. One loss, and they're out. That's it. This will be – I really believe that if they blow this, don't get in the playoffs, the franchise is doomed forever. I really believe that because it's like, look, you can't be 10-4 at one point, go 10-6 and bounce out of the playoffs. You just can't do it. And I think that's – the only saving grace is that Pittsburgh really has nothing to play for next Sunday other than the fact that it's like, hey, you know, we can really put the screws to the Browns again. But, you lose all your receivers. I mean, I'm not making excuses, but when you're playing guys that no one's ever heard of at wide receiver, that's bad. And I don't get this. I don't know if you guys get to see any of this game. I had to sit through the whole thing. When you know you've got no wide receivers, you've got not one but two of the best running backs in the NFL, why do you come out and try to run three receiver sets with three tight ends? Anybody got an answer for that?
Not even that. Why do you have Baker Mayfield carrying the ball on that fourth down that they lose? Right?
Well, he could run a couple sneaks earlier or sneak at least one in the game that was very successful. But I don't know.
They were running Kareem Hunt as a receiver some of the game, weren't they? Like, yeah. Did they try to have him line up as a receiver?
Yeah. Whatever, you know.
it is a whatever. And I think that part of it would have been infinitely more painful. And it looks like Mike's entered the building.
Yeah, I'm not ready for him yet, so we'll give him a
fine.
Second.
let him cool his heel. But the Steelers for a while looked like they were dropping trowel against the Colts, and that would have made it like if the Steelers would have lost and the Browns won, that would have Browns of the division.
AFC North title game next week.
Yeah, let's bring Mike in now. Okay. Well, just don't start yet. Give us a second here. Okay, before you start with the Hollywood Mike stuff.
Jesus. Yeah. You playing that theme on like a fucking Victrola or something?
Oh,
God.
Let me crank up the controls so I can play my theme music.
No shit. Like a wax cylinder of the Hollywood NWO.
Oh, God.
So, Greg.
Greg's talking about it.
His turn. So, are you going into the shame quarter of Zach?
I'm already there, bro. Like I was telling him before you got here, I predicted this a month ago, and you guys wouldn't listen to me.
Well, no, we predict, but like
it wouldn't have mattered. Come on, it was like Andy sent a text yesterday and said that the Jaguars realized they were playing for Lawrence and tank, and commenced tanking. And I texted back. I said the Browns realized they're the Browns, play, and proceed to play accordingly. And that's exactly what happened yesterday.
What is going on? What are the Jets doing?
Well, the win doesn't mean anything for the Jets. Like, had they lost, they'd be the number two seed.
But there's still one more week. If they lost, they still could have gotten that number one pick. Like, there's still a week to go.
Yeah, but who's Jacksonville playing next week?
Somebody good. I can't remember who.
Let's see.
That has a playoff berth on the line. I think it's Indianapolis.
Yes. Maybe.
Yeah. And Indy needs to win to get in. And Jacksonville's not stupid. It was like Andy said. They were in the middle of a game.
They were hanging tough, and then they realized, wait a minute.
What the hell are we doing here? And that was that. And the Bears ran off, 50 points or something like that. What a day. I just God bless my Cleveland Browns. This is just exactly what I expected to happen. And
did we go over before I got here, what you thought happened? Greg,
you lose your entire receiving core, and that's going to hurt you a little bit.
And Michael Strahan is like, what are five guys doing in a hot tub without any chicks? I'm like, well, I could give you some answers, but I don't know if you're going to like them.
Yeah, it's hardly unheard of these days. I mean, come on. Hardly unheard of any day, really.
But then if that's the case, the entire starting receiving core is out with COVID, do you not delay the game?
No, they weren't out with COVID. They were just in what they called a close proximity danger or something.
The way I just heard it on something, I was listening to a podcast as I was driving home today. One of them had it, and then the others were the close proximity, I think.
Yeah.
So it's
a contact tracing type thing.
I think a linebacker actually tested positive. And for reasons I don't know, I don't get this whole thing with the NFL anyway. It's like,
well, it's the same thing that happened to the Broncos, where none of the quarterbacks actually had it,
right?
But they were just like all in proximity,
yeah.
And therefore, sorry, no quarterbacks this week, and sorry, we don't have time to reschedule it. So let's go.
Find some random practice squad wide receiver and best of luck to you.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And in theory, you can still win a football game without a wide receiver.
A wide receiver, yes, but your top four, probably not.
Well, right. And that's not even including OBJ being out with ACL. Right.
When you lose Jarvis Landry and Peoples Jones and Rashard Higgins, and I forget the fourth one, but he's not bad either. And all of a sudden, and like I was saying, Mike, you were here when I said this, but okay, you're the Browns. Granted, you had no time to prepare for this, but you've got two of the best running backs in the league in Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb, okay? I think most people would agree with that. So the Browns come out and they line up in three receiver sets with tight ends playing the wide receivers. It's like, no one's going to fall for this. No one. And they didn't.
Not even the New York goddamn Jets are that stupid.
No, and then you're giving
up. They're still a professional football team at the end of the day, despite how bad they
are.
I would debate that, but
okay. So this has been sort of
to play football. How about that?
Yeah, this has been a topic of some debate in the on the boards as far as tanking goes, and it's not so simple. Yeah, the Jets are terrible, but ultimately there's a lot of guys.
I thought we stopped having these debates after we finally banished Headley to the land of ghosts and wind.
Yeah, you have to tell me. I don't remember anything.
Where he paid $10,000 just to be a part of that.
No. Headley Lamar had this really bug up his ass about tanking. He's like, it's unmasculine and you shouldn't want to tank. And it's like,
that is not where I was going with this at all. I don't think it has nothing to do with that. It's all about individuals trying to either get good film or to, you know, meet a contract perk or something, you know.
And the general manager can tank. The coach and the players really can't.
Because
won't for the most part. Because if the coach is tanking, they're not going to be there.
Do you think that
the players have no loyalty to the New York Jets? So
no. And do you think that anybody, especially Sam Darnold, right on down the line on that roster, do you think any of them give a fuck if they get Trevor Lawrence next year? No.
I'm sure some of them would be like, yeah, it'd be cool if we had this awesome quarterback on our team, but like that doesn't help me in December of 2020.
No, and it doesn't help you next year either because as we all know, the NFL, you can be great one day and gone the next. And none of these guys are playing for, if we tank, we'll have a great draft pick next year. We'll all come back, except they'll have Trevor Lawrence instead of the third-string quarterback. No, it doesn't work like that in the National Football League. Everybody's playing for their job every single day, every single week. So they don't give a fuck about that. The coaching staff, you're right, Zach, they can tank. The front office can tank, but the players are all still playing for a paycheck.
I don't even think, especially this Jets coaching staff, none of them are coming back. So they can't tank necessarily.
Watch these last two wins get Adam Gase.
Just like not caring.
Watch these last two wins get Adam Gase like another year. Like they're like, he turned it around at the end.
I think he's just been such a dumpster fire from the opening press conference that there's no reason for them.
No. Like I've never seen a coaching tenure this bad as Adam Gase for the New York Jets. Like you're right, Zach. Yeah. From like literally go, it's been a disaster.
There's been some pretty bad ones.
Hugh Jackson? Come on.
He's probably in the top ten.
Hugh Jackson, I'll give you Hugh Jackson. Hugh Jackson was hilarious because they did a Hard Knocks to the Browns, and like everyone who watched that was like, Hugh Jackson's an idiot, but the team was like, we're keeping him on.
I would say Josh McDaniels has had two. Yeah. I mean, the Broncos and the Colts, if you want to call the Colts that. Like,
good God. Oh, the Colts one was hilarious, yeah.
I mean, it's hard to qualify.
So Josh McDaniels has been a disaster as a head coach in the NFL, and yet there are still Bucs fans here who are saying the Bucs should go after him for the head coach.
Sure. Just tie it to Tom Brady's contract, and the instant that Tom Brady retires, you fire Josh McDaniels. I wouldn't want that one.
I don't think that Bruce Arians is a bad coach for Tom Brady. I think that that's a pretty good setup for him.
He's a good coach, and he can, you know, actually talk back to Tom Brady and not be like, "Oh, Mr. Brady, sir, I'm so reverential to you and your strawberry."
Fuck him and his whole enterprise.
Well, I wanted to.
Don't be bitter. Don't be bitter. Yeah. Join me, Greg. Join me.
No, I'm
sorry. every one of our teams, whether they won or lost, they at least played a full football game. They didn't pull everybody at halftime like somebody.
Well, what choice did they have? I mean, come on.
Win by 70?
Right?
I mean,
thank you, Detroit Lions, for basically proving that all you want to do is go home.
Like, the Jaguars are bad, but the Lions, man, that was a pitiful.
This was hilarious because we have breaking news, by the way.
Jared Goff had surgery on his thumb.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
On his broken right thumb, he's unlikely to play versus the Cardinals. And there's no word on if he's going to be available for the playoffs at all. So
if he got the surgery, he's not available for the playoffs. I think
you'd think so.
Well, to the Detroit game, the Detroit Free Press, and I showed you guys this article.
Ran an article
saying that it was dirty for the Bucs to run up the score on the Lions.
The Lions ran up the score on themselves.
No, exactly. The Bucs pulled their starting quarterback at half. Like, Detroit, you let Blaine Gabbert put two touchdowns up on you. That's on you. If you can't stop Blaine Gabbert, that's on you.
Blaine Gabbert's first pass was to Rob Gronkowski unmolested down the middle of the field.
Yeah.
For a touchdown. if you don't want the score to be run up on you, maybe throw a safety in there.
Maybe cover basic coverage.
Yeah.
No, that's the thing.
The Lions just gave up on national TV, and that was kind of funny.
You hear about that all the time in college football, too, where a team will win 70-3 or whatever, and they go, why do they run the score up? When you've got your second and third string guys in, what are they supposed to do, just fall down every time they get the ball?
No, at a certain point, it falls on the other team to actually show some sort of resistance. Like, this was one of those games where it's like, I think when Matt Stafford got taken out, like, you could see the team just, well, that's it.
I mean, we've seen Belichick a couple times over the years do the fuck you and running the score up touchdown, but for the most part, most people don't do that.
Well, speaking of Belichick, Tom Brady's in the playoffs. Bill Belichick isn't.
Oh, interesting. Whatever.
Interesting.
It's not really. You know,
if you put Cam Newton on the Buccaneers, they're not in the playoffs either. So,
I mean, I fail to see. I mean, it's an interesting like thing to get some like clicks, but I don't find it a terribly interesting observation. It's, I mean, of course, Tom Brady's in the playoffs because he's Tom Brady. He's very good. Yes. Bill Belichick has like half his roster opted out of the season. And his current team just kind of sucks. So I don't know why that's such a big surprise. Yeah, I mean,
Tom Brady's good. He has weapons. The Patriots have, I'm just saying,
I think it's interesting in the context of people who have been saying for years, oh, Tom Brady, you know, was just made by Bill Belichick. Well,
sure.
Obviously.
Yeah, they said the same thing about Joe Montana, and then he took two AFC title games. So.
And no matter what Brady does as a Buck, his legacy will always be tied to Belichick and vice versa. There's no, you know, you can't undo that. I wanted to run something by the three of you that I've been kind of debating with people inside of my Bears circles. So the Bears have won 3 straight. They're 8-7. They lost – before that, they lost 6 straight. In the middle of that 6-game losing streak, there was a lot of heat on the team to have a total restructuring, firing team president, the GM, the head coach, a lot of roster turnover. Like it was looking pretty grim during that streak, and it was bad. They lost to the damn Lions. But now that they've won 3 straight, there's a lot of, you know, there even is conversation about whether or not bringing back Mitch Trubisky on sort of a middling deal. Maybe beneficial and
people.
Hold on. I'm not getting Miles' point. So ultimately, what has happened though is because now the Bears are in a weird situation where they can win and get in next week, which they won't. They may get in the playoffs, but they won't be the Packers.
Hey, they don't even need to win. If the Rams win, they're in still. Yeah,
they just need Arizona to lose is the main thing. But regardless, what this has caused is a weird divide in Bears fans where there's many who cast their lot during the 6-game losing streak, essentially saying, fire everybody, these guys are trash, because they lost to all these teams. But now the Bears have won, in very convincing fashion, mind you. They've won these games. They put up 30 points in 3 consecutive games for the first time since 1965. They have, like, they're doing things. Their offense has gone from, like, ass to about 18th in a matter of a couple weeks. Things are, and they're about to, they possibly could get in the playoffs. Very good chance. But there's a lot of fans that were saying, like, regardless, if they make the playoffs or not, you have to fire people. So if you're rooting for a team of bum slayers, essentially, that eke into the playoffs by happenstance, is that a better situation than being like the Jets or the old Browns, where there's teams that are just perpetually shit and constantly rebuilding?
No, I think, look, to counter they put up 30 points in 3 games. Against Houston, Minnesota, and Jacksonville.
They're bad teams. Yes.
Yeah. And not to mention during that 6-game losing streak, they lost to the Lions and the Vikings.
I think that if the best glowing recommendation you can give Mitch Trubisky is we can bring him back on a reduced deal and see if there's anything there, then you might as well just cut him. Like, if there's not that confidence that he's going to be the guy, then look elsewhere. Because I have never seen that work out right, where, you know, you have a coach or a quarterback or any other star player where it's like, oh, well, you know, it hasn't been great, but we'll see what we have in them. It never works out.
What do they call that? Like sunk costs or something like that?
Sunk cost fallacy, yeah. Like Hugh Jackson is like the perfect example of that, right? You know, they go 0-16, right? You know, they should fire him. Like, flat out, they should fire him, and they don't because they've got like I don't know why, but you know, it's like, oh, we'll bring him back another year and see what see what they have. And the Browns, you know, renaissance, if you can call it that, you know, it was probably delayed by a season because they kept Hugh Jackson around.
I agree with that.
So it's something that everyone could see. So if Mitch Trubisky is not is not the answer, if he's not going to be the long-term answer for the Chicago Bears, then bringing him back and kicking the can down the road with one more year with him isn't going to do anyone any favors. He's not going to magically get better. So, you know, if the Bears want to move on, if the Bears want to – if they don't feel that Trubisky is their future – then they have to move on. And well, pretending otherwise isn't going
to just to throw this in there as a nice little wrench, people have given the Bears nothing but shit since that draft, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mitch Trubisky, 29 professional victories. Deshaun Watson, 28.
No, Michael, we did not forget Hugh Jackson. We were just talking about him.
The issue with – so Mitch Trubisky is one of those – he's a very enigmatic and frustrating player.
He's like you and I talked about with Jared Goff kind of on right. Facebook, right? Where it's like – or was it Twitter, whatever.
Yeah.
Where like they're fine. They can get you – they can have some great games and they can have some really bad games. And ultimately, if your defense is good enough and you have players around them, you can get a winning team. You can get a playoff team. You might even get a division winner out of it. Hell, I mean, the Rams was in the Super Bowl. The Bears were a Super Bowl caliber team that one year with that defense. So they're fine, but they're not consistent. And when they turn bad, boy, they turn bad. So you realize that you can survive with Mitch Trubisky, but you know that you need to be looking for his replacement.
Right. And you'll never thrive, but the thing is, it's more of a conceptual thing to where a lot of fans are sick of being like, you're just kind of middling around, you're picking between like 12 and 18 every year, so you're not getting those like top five
right,
elite sure. talents.
The Patriots picked 31st in the league right. for like a decade, and they were still the Patriots. So you could
but Tom Brady helps an awful lot with that.
Sure. Right.
The Bears are really, I mean, we always talked about it on the old football show, Zach, the dreaded middle. I think the yeah. Bears are a really good example of that. Where
but then again, not, you know, but
on the other hand, though, like, you don't have to be top three to draft the franchise QB anymore. Like,
sure.
There are plenty of misses. Like, look at Patrick Mahomes. He's not. You know, the number
yeah,
one.
But how many times does a Mahomes come along where you pick him 15th or whatever it was?
Oh, I know, but like I'm saying, it's out there. It's just the fact of like the Bears have done it terribly for however many years.
Just a friendly reminder. Tom Brady was what 199.
Yeah. Well, Tom Brady's the extreme outlier to that.
Yeah.
So,
like, you cannot use him as any standard of the draft. Like if your favorite NFL team picks a quarterback in round six, you can't be like, oh shit, here we go. That's the franchise yeah. Joe Schmo from nothing ass State University that, you know played behind whatever. Like
I'm an Ohio State fan and I'm very familiar with Michigan. Honest to God, I'd never even heard of Tom Brady when he got drafted. I mean, I don't remember him playing at Michigan. Maybe he did. I don't know. But he was so uneventful that he doesn't stand out in my mind like a Chad Henne does or that idiot Jim Harbaugh or anybody like that. I mean, it's just a guy that was happy to be there.
Have the Bears made a lot of trades to like get rid of draft picks? Like, do they still have the normal allotment of picks for the next few years?
As far as I know, like they finally finished up the Khalil Mack trade.
Right. Okay.
They lost yeah. a pick. They lost several first round picks for, and I think there's been a few like minor deals, but like this year I think is the first time in I don't know like 4 years they've had all their draft picks for one draft. Yeah. I think. See, I'm not 100%.
What I'm going at there is like I'm not saying they need to do it right now because I think unless you're going all the way up to get Trevor Lawrence, like there's no reason to trade up for a QB that deep. Mm-hmm. But if they can pick, you know, if they can keep their draft picks or even start trading backwards and getting some sort of stockpile to, you know, survive with Trubisky, build up the rest of the team around him to be better, give him, you know, more better wide receiver options or a better O-line or, you know, keep that defense at the elite level that it needs to be. And then in a year, in 2 years, whenever there's a window to say like, hey, let's go get that QB right now. You can trade up, or maybe you're even sitting at a point where you say, yeah, we'll take a flyer on this QB in the late second round or in the third round, and hey, this kid actually turned out to be pretty decent, so you never know.
You know what I would do if I were the Bears?
I'm going to insist that if you're that trying to make it work with Trubisky is not gonna it's not gonna happen.
Again, they can survive. Like they could be a playoff team, and then you never know what happens at that point. But
I think the Bears should get a great big Brinks truck full of money and go find Andrew Luck and go, "Hey, dude, what will it take?"
No, yeah, no. I believe that, and just I don't want to waste too much more time on the Bears. They don't really deserve it. But the you know, spending. If you want to go and bring back Mitch, I'm okay with that. If you want to let him go, I'm okay with that too. If you want to draft a quarterback in this year's first, second round, fine. There's a few that look interesting, I guess. But it's more about like I'm of the opinion that if my team circles 500, I know it's the dreaded middle, but 500 is reasonably agreeable. I'd rather watch a 500 team that sometimes stumbles into the playoffs than endure just constant recycling of shit for that one time. So like there's a lot of like Dolphins fans who now are feeling like they're on this roll to get into the playoffs. Good things are about to happen for them. Same things for the Browns. They've been like, we've been suffering all this time, and now these stars are aligning to get us where we need to be. And it's like, well, was it worth it? Was it really worth it? It never is, you know? Like
I mean I've different sport, but same base concept. I have been a Leafs fan during some of the worst hockey I've ever seen. And I have also been a Leafs fan for, you know, the team being competitive. And even when they're competitive, but, you know, not as good as I'd like them to be, I'd still rather watch that than, you know, them losing 5-1 every week, which is, you know, what they were doing at one point about a decade ago. So I'm fine.
I have the unique perspective of having been with the Browns, both versions of them. Mm-hmm. And I'll take the 70s, 80s, and 90s Browns over this crew every single time when it comes to that sort of thing.
And especially with the Bears, or this idea that you're getting at, Andy, to lose on purpose, to say, hey, tear the whole thing down and, you know, get those big draft picks, and that's the surefire way to go fix this. There's plenty of evidence that shows that that's not the way to do it either, you know, because
sure. Look at the Browns.
Well, right. Look at the Browns. Look at the Jets. Look
at the Lions.
The Buffalo Sabres in the NHL.
Yep.
You can tank as many times as you want, but if you don't get the right guys, which, you know.
Hell, the Buffalo Sabres got the right guy. They tanked for Eichel. They got Eichel.
Or, you know, take it to baseball. Remember when, how many teams tried, and I know they cheated to win the World Series, but they still got good players out of the deal. But how many teams tried the Astros approach? We're just going to blow it up and rebuild. How many times did it actually work? Not that many.
I think the Cubs pulled it off.
But yeah, after how many years though, dude? That's the
thing. Took them like 6 years. Yeah. You know, it takes forever.
It's a process. To quote the 76ers, but like I think if you're a
example, the 76ers.
But if you're like a lower
For all they've done, what have they accomplished?
Right.
If you're a team in the lower middle, and you're like, man, we just can't seem to get it out. Well, what do we have to do to get better? Well, players are going to come here. The only way to do this is to fully go suck and be bad. I don't think the Bears are in that spot. The Bears are – it's kind of the story of the Chicago Bears, right? They are a quarterback away from being just as good as everybody else.
I agree with that.
On the surface. Because I think clearly every team has things that they can do to be better, but the defense is there. And they have a couple of offensive weapons to work with at this point.
They should bring back this 37-year-old guy who played good in the preseason in 1998. Yeah, that's what a lot of I hear.
Well, I mean, what
I think they need to do is stick with Trubisky for the moment because he's not great. But they went and tried to get Nick Foles. They tried to make the big move, didn't fucking work. And
then, anyone could have told them that Nick Foles any one of us could have told them Nick Foles is not going to be the answer.
They swung for Nick Foles, and it didn't work. They paid all that money to Mike Glennon, and boy, did that not work.
I don't know who thought Mike Glennon was going to be the answer.
To speak for what those situations were, Mike Glennon was a glorified one-year contract that he drastically overpaid for, and it was a complete misevaluation because Mike Glennon is terrible. I knew that. Everybody knew that. But the idea was there was no penalty for releasing him after the first year. That was essentially all it was. And I'm glad I celebrated. I fucking danced the day he was cut because I fucking hate Mike Glennon. and Nick Foles was essentially just like an insurance policy because they didn't really have a backup, and you give up a fourth-round pick for a you know, for a backup quarterback that's won a Super Bowl, maybe you'll strike lightning in a bottle, maybe you won't, but at the end of the day, it just costs you a fourth rounder. So, I mean, worse deals have been made.
You know,
I think, is really just stay the course, and with your third-round pick or whatever, make a flyer on a QB you like at that level. Yeah. See if it works.
I mean, going back to what we were saying before about the inconsistent or the tanking, look at the Steelers. They're always good. I mean, they're not always Super Bowl caliber, but they're always competitive.
Okay,
they have been since like 1972.
Right, but that's an institutional thing that is like that's the opposite of the Bears. The Bears have institutional ineptitude. The Packers and the Steelers have institutional like quality.
I think the Packers that started with Brett Favre. That's not a legacy.
Yeah, but Brett Favre was sure. long enough ago that it's an institution.
25-30 years now.
When
you fall into Aaron Rodgers at the 25th pick, that helps a lot too.
Right.
I mean, yeah.
Right. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Like.
My point is that if you get a good organization in place, maybe when you have a 5-11 season, you don't wipe everybody out because maybe you went, say, 10-6, 9-7 2 years before that. Maybe it's kind of fluctuating a little bit, but you can see the progress, which is kind of what the Steelers did way, way back in the day, and it becomes an institution. And maybe that's the problem. Maybe teams are too quick to go to the eject button.
Well, I mean, the Browns for a while there were like firing and hiring GMs and coaches like once a season. So,
well, I was fifth in line for the Browns coaching job at one point.
In the Browns were perpetually terrible. I don't think that's close to the same thing that the Bears are stuck in.
No,
but that's what I'm saying.
What would happen with the Bears, right, is if they do tear everything down, like, or at least organizationally tear everything down, get rid of all the front office and start over, you're going to have a thing where, like, in 3 years, the Bears win a Super Bowl, let's just say hypothetically. And people are going to be like, well, this team was actually built by the foundation was laid during these years with Trubisky and whoever else. And this is, you know,
sure.
This isn't really this guy's team.
It's the eternal second guessing and all that stuff. But the Bears, you know, the same thing. If you tear it all down, you're still having the same family that owns it, which is not going anywhere. They will never sell. The Rooneys own the Steelers, but the Steelers have also been very successful, consistently.
Well, the
successful.
Rooneys, I think, have done a better job at running that team than McCluskeys or whatever McCaskies,
the damn McCaskey family.
Well, my point going back to the Steelers is that they've had, I think, maybe twice they've drafted number one overall since. They were terrible back in the early 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't had that many head coaches.
Cowher, and Tomlin.
That's it.
This is fucking incredible when you think about it. I mean, like, good Lord.
But I think that's the model everybody should be chasing, and everybody wants to look at Belichick and the Patriots. And that's another good example of it. You've got good, strong ownership that kind of stays out of the way, and you've got a great head coach.
Like, as much as we, we're talking about, the Patriots didn't make the playoffs, does anyone think Bill Belichick's getting fired this year? No.
Hell no.
As long as Bill Belichick wants to continue to be the coach of the New England Patriots, he will be the coach of the New England Patriots.
I think if that team had a quarterback, Cam Newton, something's wrong with his arm, and he's got all sorts of issues that maybe the COVID thing messed him up, I don't know. But I think if you put just about any decent level, caliber.
I'd go a step further and say they need a quarterback, and then they need all of their injured players who are sitting out to come back. But yeah, there is a good team there.
Well, that's if you think of the quarterback, don't you think they would have been? I mean, I don't know if they make the playoffs, they'd have been a hell of a lot more competitive.
When Cam Newton was actually playing well for the first 2 weeks, they actually did look rather good. Then Newton's play went to shit. But if they could get someone who could play consistently well the quarterback position, yeah, they're probably competitive. Yeah.
I got the answer for you. His name is Dwayne Haskins.
There you go.
The Bill Belichick Dwayne Haskins era begins.
what an embarrassing situation.
You make good decisions.
Yeah, Greg, I was going to ask, thoughts on fellow OSU alum Dwayne Haskins?
Wish I could say I'm even a little bit surprised, but I'm not.
So, caught in a strip club on camera without a mask and all that, loses the game, or stripped of his captaincy, loses the game, and gets waived in a span of what, like 4 days? Yeah. Merry Christmas to you, Dwayne. Hope you had a good week.
Moron.
See what I'm saying about the NFL, though? That's why guys don't tank, man, because you don't ever know what's going to happen next.
Well, that's the whole thing of NFL, not for long. You know? Right. With Dwayne Haskins, like, I mean, that's a unique triumvirate there where you have just ineptitude followed by ineptitude, like bad decisions one after another. Finally,
it comes out that Dan Snyder, you know, paid hush money to a woman to drop sexual harassment allegations from 2009. So it's just a goddamn mess over there.
You need to watch
the institutional thing.
The drones will come.
Our affair with the NFC is kind of encapsulated by these dumb Washington 32s, right? Where it's like they're what, 6-9 now?
They're 6-9, yeah.
They can win.
It looked like they were charging forward and they were gonna ruin everything by getting the 8-8 or whatever. And then Alex Smith injured his leg again, and Dwayne Haskins comes in, and now it's just like, oh, that's right.
What's your Alex Smith leader
right now? It's so good.
Wouldn't Alex Smith be smart to just say, I'm done? If he hurt that same leg again, I'd be like, you know what, that's it.
It's
a different leg, even better.
He hurt the other calf, and I guess what Jay Glazer was saying was when they were doing the reconstruction on the other leg, they actually had to take some, I forget if it was just muscle or bone from the other calf and like transfer it. And so he then hurt the calf that they took like the sample from.
You know, so, when Alex Smith...
Yeah, be done.
When Alex Smith is like 60 and he's like hobbling around, just barely able to walk, right?
Walking on his robot legs.
Yeah, and some, you know, one of his grandkids is going to be like, Grandpa, was it worth it to fuck your legs up the last few years playing for Washington?
You know, playing for the football team?
They'll point to that 7-9 division championship banner and be like, yes.
That's right. Well, so what? So we got. There's a lot of crazy shit going on. So it's not. I mean, we are
guaranteed a sub-500 NFC East champion.
Well, yeah, and on the other side of it, there's the AFC where there's a guaranteed 10-win team that won't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah. The way it works, let me, because I have it all pulled up here.
I just want to point out really quick, guys. I might be wrong about this. Last 10-win team that didn't make the playoffs in the AFC. You want to take a guess?
The Patriots,
yeah.
Oh, shit, I was thinking it was the Browns. But, yeah, it probably was the Patriots.
Yeah, when the Matt Castle year, when they won 11 games.
Well, the one before that was the Browns. I'm just saying. They were 10-6, did not make the playoffs.
So the NFC East looks like this. If Washington beats the Eagles, they're playing the Eagles, right? Yeah,
that's
right.
Sunday night, yeah.
They bumped up the Washington-Philadelphia game to the Sunday nighter, and it's like...
They're listening to the show. They're right there with us.
Oklahoma City tank division.
That's right.
But normally, they do this with like a game that means something to both teams, so it was like, oh, Rams-Cardinals is really the best choice for that, surely. And it's like, well, when the Eagles go and lose, well, now they have no shot at winning the title. So now, if the Eagles win this game, it's like, oh, this game is for absolutely nothing. Or even if the Cowboys and the Giants lose early in the day, the game will be worth absolutely nothing. But if Washington beats the Eagles, they win. If the Cowboys beat the Giants and Washington loses, then the Cowboys win.
And what, 6-10, right?
Nope.
Right.
7.
Would
the Cowboys be 6-10 or 7-9?
The Cowboys would be
if the Cowboys win, they're 7-9. Both the Cowboys and the football team are 6-9.
Okay, right. That's a good point here.
The Giants would be the only ones that could win at 6-10.
Well, shit, that sounds almost impossible. What, we need a Philly win?
No, Philly over Washington, and then the Giants would need to beat Dallas.
Well, shit, that's not impossible.
It's not impossible.
Oh,
look, we are only 1 week away. I just want my 6-10 division winner. Come on.
Yeah. You may get it. I mean,
come on.
So the Saints and – so all the like – so the bulk of the like playoff seed important games are all taking place at the same time in the afternoon. It'll be a glorious red zone afternoon.
Right.
For those who partake in that stuff. I will be watching the Bears probably lose by like 3 touchdowns to Green Bay.
Well, the worst thing that happened to the Bears this weekend was actually the Saints demolishing the Vikings, right? Because now the Packers still have to play if they want the number one seed.
Yeah. Right. Most unfortunate.
And so now you're not playing whoever the backup is. You're playing Aaron Rodgers trying to cement that MVP vote.
You're playing heel turn Aaron Rodgers.
But again, as we said earlier, the Bears don't necessarily need to win the game, because if the Rams with AAF passing touchdown leader of the Arizona Hotshots, John Wolford, who's been described as a junior Kyler Murray, folks. Goes out and wins the game for the Rams over the Cardinals, and the Bears But if the Cardinals beat the Rams, and if the Cardinals beat the Rams and the Bears lose, then they're out. If the Cardinals beat the Rams and the Bears win, then the Rams are out. So the Rams are still on the precipice of tumbling all the way down when all they had to do was beat the goddamn New York Jets 2 weeks ago.
I feel you, bud. I feel you. I know exactly how you feel.
The Bears had to beat the Lions. You know, I mean, it's
fucking Jets are going to ruin our season, Zach. Both of us. Wait and see. The fucking Jets.
Well, the Browns, are a little bit more. Because the
Browns win.
Let's finish off the NFC, because the AFC wildcard thing, there's so many.
You mean none of your teams have secured playoff berths yet?
Well, I don't know. Number one seed, the NFC is not so bad.
I am clearly a lifelong check the standings Kansas City Chiefs fan. Like, you know.
Only after they got Patrick Mahomes, right?
I can't
tag Mike with that. He switches allegiances before they got Brady, so that is a fact.
Yeah, that's true.
Can't call him a front runner. Call him a lucky son of a bitch, but you can't call him a front runner.
It's the LeBron method of choosing your favorite team. You just the standings, you choose the best.
You know what? It's not working out so badly for me. by the way, did we all laugh at the Clippers losing by 50 to Dallas?
Good Lord.
Yes.
If the Mavericks didn't score a single point in the second half of that game, they still would have beat the Clippers.
I just want to point out that it seems like the Clippers are just getting it over early this year, right? Like, why bother with losing in the second round of the playoffs when you could just go home?
And they beat the Lakers on opening day, but whatever.
Didn't the Lakers win opening day?
No, the Lakers won the game, but that's not the point.
Didn't the Lakers get their rings and all that day?
Yeah, they got their rings, and they even said that, like, mentally we're ready to play, but physically we're just not all there. And it's like, it's fine. I don't blame you.
I'd be sitting on the bench going, this fucking ring is awesome. I wouldn't even be paying attention to the game, to be honest.
I'm not worried at all about early season Lakers basketball. They will be perfectly fine. But I do want to worry about early season Clippers basketball so I can point and laugh when I can.
Clippers go Clipper.
I mean.
Back to football. We'll finish
up the playoff picture.
I guess we're all good with the NFC then, because it's you're fighting for the number one seed. If the Saints win, then they get it. If Green Bay loses, then they get it. And the Seahawks would need both New Orleans and Green Bay to lose to get up there. The AFC wild card though is kind of wild. So you have the Titans, Dolphins, Ravens, Browns, and Colts all in this soup. We'll take the Titans and Colts put off to the side right this second, because they are still playing for the AFC South. Because if the Titans lose and the Colts win, then the Colts win the division. If the Titans win or the Colts lose, then the Titans win the division.
What happens if they both win?
If the Titans win and the Colts win, if the Titans win, they get the division. If the Colts win and either Tennessee, Baltimore, then the Colts get into the playoffs. The Colts are the ones on the outside right now. If everybody else wins ahead of them, then they're screwed.
Wow.
The Browns get in with a win or a Colts loss or a Tennessee loss plus a Baltimore win and an Indianapolis win and a Miami win.
Wait, what?
Following me? The Browns get in. If the Browns get in with a Tennessee loss plus a Baltimore win, an Indianapolis win, and a Miami win. Or if they just win, or if the Colts just lose, then they're in.
Okay.
This is why you shouldn't have another playoff spot, because there's a lot of algebra that needs to be done here.
It's kind of fun. It's fun.
Let me ask you this, Dak. Would the Browns be out right now if there were only six playoff spots this year instead of seven?
Probably not. I think there's too many mitigating circumstances for both conferences that would allow for those final two. The final two.
I think. Last team out right now is Miami.
Okay. I'm just leaning into this whole blowing it thing. I figure, you know what? Fuck it. Let's just go for it and do it right.
No, if it, I'm pulling up the playoff standings again. I should have had this ready. No. Oh, yeah, actually, yes. Right now, the Browns are technically number 7. But again, they're at 10-5. Tennessee's 10-5. Miami's 10-5. Baltimore's 10-5. And the Colts are 10-5. So if this was normal rules, we'd have two 10-win non-playoff teams in the AFC.
What was I going to say? There's no way for the Browns to go 11-5 and not make the playoffs, right?
No, if they win, they're in. If they win, it's over.
Okay.
Yeah.
No pressure.
If there was a way to do it, they'd find it.
Right. So if the Titans win, they're in. If the Dolphins win, they're in. If the Ravens win, they're in. If the Browns win, they're in. The Colts are the only team that needs a win and other stuff going on.
So they're the only ones that need help besides just winning their game.
Right. And then
we know the Browns,
a combination of losses between Baltimore, Indianapolis, and Miami.
Who are the Browns playing in Week 17?
Oh, just Pittsburgh.
The Steelers. But the Steelers – here's the deal, though. The Steelers, I think, are primed and ready to not do a damn thing on Sunday.
Well, because
when all that schedule thing was going on with them and Baltimore, they haven't had a true bye week this season yet.
No, and I think of their 15 games played, 7 of them were played this month, so they probably wouldn't mind a little rest.
Right, and they have absolutely nothing to play for. They can't get the number 1 seed, and they can't drop down to the number 3 seed.
So they're locked in.
Or I guess they could drop down to the number 3 if they lose and the Bills win, but.
Well, just to give you an idea of how well things have gone for the Browns against the Steelers since 2010.
Oh, how about let's go back forever? But go ahead, just 2010.
No, just recent history. I'll be fair. The Steelers are 17-3-1 against the Browns over the last 10-11 years.
Yeah.
So no big deal. No pressure at all. I mean, it's very similar to the Packers and Bears just wiping their ass with a lesser franchise during that span. I mean, that's
you know the last time the Browns beat the Steelers twice in the same season was.
80s probably.
If I had to guess, yeah, I don't know if it's ever happened. I think it did. I think in 86 when the Browns won the AFC Championship.
It was 1988 was the last time that happened.
88? Okay. Yeah, well, it was pretty bad back then.
We brought up the Steelers and their draft positions. I looked it up. Do you want to know the lowest the Steelers have drafted since 1990?
I'm going to say 5th or 6th.
No, maybe 11. I want to say they were 10 or 11th.
The lowest they have drafted since 1990, because in 1989 they drafted 7th.
Wow.
But the low after that was 8th in 2000 when they picked Plaxico Burress. They picked 11th a couple times, including Ben Roethlisberger, and they picked 10th last year.
See, there's got to be something to that organization besides just the Rooneys and Mike Tomlin. I mean, there's got to be like a scouting system or something in place because you can't be
run tight ship.
It's not just good. I mean, they have some off seasons here and there, but I mean, when's the last time they even went 5-11? Does anybody even know?
No.
I mean, I know they did back in the 80s again, but that was 40 years ago.
I mean, this is the appeal of consistency, but at the same time, if you transmit that to like the Bengals, then you have like the dollar store version of the Steelers.
I mean, they were that. They had, what was it, Mike Lewis for.
Marvin Lewis.
That's what I mean. For the longest time. Sort of
like, I don't know. It seemed like 30 years.
Yeah.
But by the way,
they haven't picked lower than 7th. They haven't picked lower than 7th since 1970 when they drafted Terry Bradshaw number 1 overall.
Right. I know that 2 years in a row they had, I think they got Mean Joe Green first and then Terry Bradshaw, and that started the whole damn thing.
Mean Joe Green was number 4 overall. Terry Bradshaw was number 1.
Oh, all right. We saw Joe Green went first. But anyway.
No, they drafted number 1 3 times. And other fun fact about the Steelers drafting, we can move on from this bit. The first year that they had a draft pick, 1936, they had the number 3 overall pick, a running back from Notre Dame by the name of William Shakespeare.
That's great. I was just going to say that to go to the point about the Bengals and teams with like long tenured coaches, I think the Steelers have proven there's way more to it than just that, because there has to be, because you can't be drafting 11th and later every single year for 30 years and still be this good. There's got to be they know something that everybody else doesn't. I don't know what it is, but that's got to be something that they're just onto that nobody else has figured out yet. I don't know. I mean, you can't be that lucky for that long. You just can't. But anyway.
Damn, I'm looking through the 1936 NFL draft. This is back when people had like you had names, but then they had like a lot of people had nicknames. Like right. An obscene amount of people had nicknames. So you had Art Pappy Lewis, taken by the New York Giants. You had J.W. Dub Wheeler, which is fairly common.
Right.
I like Pappy Lewis. It's
yeah. Alphonse Tuffy Lehmans, Frank Butch Labes. Then there's Paul Bear Bryant, of course. Then there's let me see. Oh, Bob Bones Hamilton.
I'm picturing like okay, I understand that the draft back then wasn't what it is today, but I'm just imagining some old-timey NFL commissioner wearing a fedora, chomping on a cigar, getting up to say these names.
Yeah, but back
in the draft, guy's been drafted.
They didn't even have like they just called it in over the phone. They didn't.
Yeah,
I'm picturing like these guys sitting around at their old ranches out west, waiting for the telegram to show up, telling them they've been drafted a week later.
Don't forget the Detroit Lions with the 80th overall pick of the draft took Bob Choo Choo Train from Yale. So,
oh
wow, they must have stayed up all night thinking that name.
So, by the way, fun news with Spin the Wheel, Make the Deal. So Mike secured his victory, I guess, for the regular season. However, I accidentally deleted the file that had everything on it, so I don't know.
No.
But I mean, I can listen to last week's show and put it all together.
Lost the time, Andy.
Oh, okay. Whatever you guys want to do.
About that, Mike. We've lost all the records. It seems that there was some.
Well, we've lost all the records except the recordings of it all happening.
Oh, well, Mike, the voting regular. I know, but you know, just us talking about it
in Andy's house, and we just lost the records. So
yeah, right.
Just, you know what? I'm still flying the banner that Cosmic made me.
That's fine.
If you guys check out on the boards, I'll post the link in our little private chat here.
Yeah.
Let's take a look here. Oh, geez. I got to see this.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
Wait, come on, you slow. All right, here we go.
It's real fancy, real fancy shit. I'm glad.
I'd probably wear that, Mike. I'd fly that all for at least a year.
I'll
throw it up here, Greg, if you want to share it up there. So this is the prestigious banner that Mike can hang from his, hang in his garage or whatever. But either way, I'll go ahead and record the this week's and I'll update. I don't know because we're going to do the playoffs after this one, right? The
first round, sure. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's just go ahead and get this over with, if you don't mind. Let's just do
this is for draft position.
Right. let me see.
Seeding for the playoffs.
Well, yeah. I do want to point out before we go that the only reason I secured my victory last week for this week is because the Atlanta Falcons again.
I'm going to give them a break. I think they played the Chiefs pretty tough.
But they should have won. That's the thing.
The Chiefs looked entirely bored to play that football game. Like that fourth down play where like they have the guy spin and then it's a reverse and it's a pass to Patrick Mahomes. It's like it's fourth and one. The hell are you doing?
They're just close to running Globetrotter shit out there. Like they're going to start putting like passes behind their back and just all sorts of crazy stuff.
Yeah,
because when they decide they need a touchdown, they just score a touchdown. It's unreal. Right. All right, we're ready to spin the wheel and make.
Yeah,
the deal?
Go ahead and I had to close it real quick, so there we go. All right, so this is Zach's pick for Week 17.
Week 17 is always fun to pick.
Raiders Broncos.
Oh God! Speaking of right.
No, nothing on the line here at all. It's just two teams for looking for draft position, really. So,
Zach,
who was this for? Me? Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry, you guys cut out for a second. So, this is my game.
Yeah. Yes. Raiders Broncos.
Guys.
Yes. Hello.
Zach is.
I think he's doing this on purpose. He just doesn't want to call this game, and I don't blame him.
No, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear us?
Okay, great. So this is my pick. Yes.
You're picking Raiders Broncos. That's your game.
Yeah.
Oh, Raiders.
Okay.
Sorry. Right. I don't know what's happening there.
It's all right. This is Greg's matchup.
Yeah. That's okay, Zach. You do the Raiders or Broncos, so we're all in the same boat.
Yeah.
Ravens at Bengals. Greg.
Oh, boy. That's an easy one. Ravens. But with a caveat, don't be surprised if the Bengals – no, fuck no. It's the Ravens all the way.
Okay. I did hear on Bill Simmons on the podcast say an interesting thing where, like, there's this whole slew of games that don't mean a goddamn thing tomorrow. Play those on Saturday. Why not?
Yeah.
Why mess up the perfect Sunday?
That's probably like a Players Association thing. I'm sure it's
continuing.
Speaking of which, we get 17 regular season games next year. That'll be fun.
Yay.
Yeah, right.
There's my game. Let's see what happens here. Oh, great. Vikings at Lions. All right.
Another one of the trash.
I'll take the Vikings to beat the sorry ass Lions. Lions just wanted us off themselves.
And I think Alabama could beat the Lions with that motivation at this point.
All right, Mike, finishing up. This is a little victory lap game for you here. Cowboys at Giants.
Ooh, Mike, it's a good one.
This is one of those interesting ones. I got to think, as much as it would kill the dream, I have to think that the Cowboys are going to win because the Giants look like dog shit, and Andy Dalton hasn't been half bad. So,
yeah,
Cowboys. Yeah,
I agree with that.
Yeah,
can't say I care for it, but I agree.
I want that Giants win, though.
I do. I mean, I do too. I just don't think it's happening.
If the Giants win, I will be rooting for Jalen Hurts and the Eagles more than I think I did when they played the Patriots.
All right, that concludes Spin the Wheel, Make the Deal for week 17. We'll see how things go.
Well, you guys want to go through quickly name the final four in the ignominious tournament of disgrace?
Oh, yes.
All right. I will tell you that we had one of the closest matches in the entire field and one of the biggest blowouts in the entire field or in the entire tournament so far.
This tournament is invalid after last week's results, so whatever.
But doesn't that make it the perfect tournament for this year?
I will also add that one of our tournament favorites played a much closer match than anybody would have thought. So, here we go. You ready?
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
First matchup, Rudy Gobert touches all the microphones and in sports versus Four Seasons Total Landscaping.
Yeah, this one's tough.
I gotta go Four Seasons Total Landscaping. That's gonna be something that's gonna go down in American lore.
Like, yeah, but as we kind of saw last week, while we are basically a sports show, the sports sometimes beats out some of the better entries just because of the nature of the people that we are.
It seemed like we were getting votes from like right wing militia groups for a while. So,
yeah, I don't think the Proud Boys.
Sports is a great equalizer, as they say. So why not?
Yeah,
I mean, I would hope that Four Seasons pulled it out in a close one.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the funny thing about this one is, I was going to close the voting yesterday, and this match was tied. So I thought I'll give it two more hours and see if any more votes come in. And one more came in and swung this thing.
Oh.
Final score. Rudy Gobert touches all the mics and in sports 14, Four Seasons Total Landscaping 13.
Oh. No!
Well.
No!
I figured.
Speaking of Cosmic, he thinks that the winner of this takes the whole thing, so we'll see.
It's appropriate that these results are unsatisfying and shit.
That is true.
You guys want to yell at
me? If we actually felt good about this, it wouldn't be appropriate.
Right. On the other hand, though, when it comes to like the world of North American sports, that's the inciting incident for.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, no, that is basically it. Where.
Yeah,
you know, Four Seasons Total Landscaping was cool, but this dude touched microphones and ended everything. That's pretty impressive.
Also, it should be noted that I believe it was Cosmic who pointed out that Dwayne Haskins' strip club visit was just a bit too late to make the cut.
There was one I saw yesterday that I was like, well, this should have been in. I can't remember what it is now.
I mean, I'm still bitter that African Hitler isn't involved, but, you know.
Yeah. Probably less Hitler the better, no matter what the circumstances. Good point.
So who will Rudy?
Well, that's
Gobert
how the right wing militia groups found us originally. It was just a keyword search Hitler.
Hitler, and here we were, right? Probably not wrong.
Okay, so Rudy Gobert will be taking on the winner of the Pentagon admits UFOs are real and no one cares, which is running out of all names or names for all the hurricanes.
I got to go UFOs.
UFOs, this wasn't even close, guys. I'm not even going to build any suspense. It was 22-5. UFOs just kicked ass and took names, and that was it. So that will be your matchup in the Final Four. Rudy Gobert touches all the microphones and in sports versus Pentagon admits UFOs are real and no one cares.
That
what the hell
is
a matchup?
Quite a...
That is pretty 2020, yeah.
Our third matchup, Airplane Toilet Liquor COVID Challenge versus South Korea uses sex dolls to replace fans.
I've got to go with the toilet. Like, the toilet liquor is just... the perfect 2020 encapsulation. So,
yeah, I, like I said, it's a mascot. It has to be.
Well,
it lost, didn't it?
It lost. Yes.
Oh my god!
You know, I'm now on after this and total landscaping. I'm fully on board Greg's team. Fuck the listeners. Y'all don't know what you're doing.
the amount of pure gold that we've lost over these last 2 weeks.
Yeah. I'll just say it again. What the fuck is wrong with you people? I just don't know anymore. And finally, our favorite, at least one of the favorites.
Just, you know what? Don't hold the voting next week. Just give the dumb trophy to the stupid baboon and let's go home. This is dumb.
I was going to suggest that we just take them out of the voting at this point and decide this motherfucker right here and now ourselves.
I like the idea that we just cancel it and say we had a call due to COVID.
How about this? How about this? I will put the Final Four in the wheel.
There you go.
Okay, sure.
You listeners, this is what you've done. You have forced us into this position. We have no choice but to let the fucking thing play out randomly.
By the way, especially for this tournament, the wheel will be called the COVID wheel.
Did the baboon do it by how many votes?
Won by 3 over the Rise of the Cairns, which is that's not so bad.
No, well, you know what?
So who does the baboon play?
The Cairns, baboon takes on South Korea uses sex dolls. So I think it's perfect, really. Vasectomy baboon versus the sex doll. God. We won't be getting any weird baboon, polyurethane mixed creatures out of this deal, I guess.
So here's what I'm thinking. I'll go ahead. Here's the wheel again. The COVID wheel.
Two random matchups.
Oh.
So basically, no. So how it's going to work is that I'm just going to spin, and whichever one it lands on gets COVID and is out.
Okay.
Until one is left.
Welcome to the COVID wheel.
Okay.
All right.
I think we've been put in a position where we have no choice because we'll get the worst fucking champion possible if we leave it to these guys. Come on.
At least this is random.
The second first spin. There we go.
South Korean sex.
South Korean sex dolls. They are slathered in coronavirus, and are removed. And it's down to 3.
Okay.
Let's see if justice prevails here.
No! Yes! Well, see, the sex dolls got it. It was contact tracing. The baboons had to go out because that was their matchup. So now the other semifinal is the final.
That's so here we go. UFOs are real versus the end of all sports is perfect. Let's...
Oh. Okay, come on. Can Rudy Gobert get COVID twice?
All right.
UFOs win!
There you go. That was my choice.
Yes!
If I couldn't have the baboon, that's what I wanted. There you go.
That's the champion. Winner.
The quotation marks winner.
Right.
And hey, we got it done before 2020 was over. So.
Right. That's the important thing.
Yeah,
we can all just fucking move on.
And if you're all upset about the lack of voting,
well, fuck off. Who cares?
Well, no. Seriously, going back to what has been said earlier, if you're unsatisfied with the way this ended, then isn't that just perfect for this sort of tournament?
You guys are lucky we even made it public at this point. I'm just saying,
it worked itself out. Nobody's happy, so it's all
right, exactly.
Year shit. We got it in before the ending. That's the main thing. Nobody wants to do another week.
No,
nobody wants
to
vote.
I was going to say my original suggestion was going to be we just take it and leave it online, and that was we'd be done with it after tonight. Final Four and all would just play out on the boards and on Twitter. But
I like the way this came together.
Yeah, this is even better. We had to, and all the tournaments we've had over the years, we had to finally step in and take over on one because it was just such a fucking disaster.
So, congratulations to UFOs are real and no one cares.
And no one still cares. So I guess it worked out perfectly.
Yeah.
Well, we got it. We do have some actual important stuff to talk about.
What a show.
We were texting during the week or whatever about the Mandalorian because we. So I have not seen. I hadn't seen the Mandalorian. It like took me a week or so to watch it all. Thankfully, I had no idea the show's episodes were mostly pretty short.
Yeah.
So it was. I watched all of the show. I'm all caught up. And I guess if we're going to discuss this, this is obviously a good point for anyone who has not seen The Mandalorian and will watch it to stop listening or stop watching. And
also, the show's legitimately good. So what are you doing? Just watch it.
For those of you that are still here after we've told you to fuck off, I don't know how many times at this point. Thanks for staying around. But if you haven't seen The Mandalorian, it might be time to tune out for a little bit.
100% spoilers because the only way to talk about the show is starting at the end because the rest of it's great. But the end is
what, you know. Wait a minute, we gotta throw this in.
If you guys do, especially if you screw over 12-foot dicks.
No.
But the GTOV is sacred.
It's sacred.
Yeah. We will not mess with GTOV, but this tournament was just taking too many bad turns.
Yeah, and I mean, unless there was some sort of, like, there's not going to be two, as far as I know anyway, there's not going to be two tournaments a year. I mean, the GTOV is kind of like its own deal. And
and this was just sort of a spur of the moment. We kind of just put this together on the spur of the moment, so this isn't going to be a regular thing. So.
No, fuck no. I don't want to have to. If this is a regular thing, that means that the world sucks forever. And no, I don't want that either.
Yeah.
Okay, so The Mandalorian. Yeah.
The Mandalorian, spoilers, 3, 2, 1 last warning, Luke, motherfucking Skywalker.
I've said this before to, you know, you guys when, you know, when we've been off mic, but now that it's on mic, I'll say it again. I, to use a wrestling fan term, marked out.
Oh, as did I.
Incredible. Like, I was pretty firm in because I'm deep into these stupid discussions online and whatever. I'm a giant nerd, and it's only been exacerbated by having nobody else to talk to except other nerds on the internet. I didn't want it to be Luke. I so hard did not want it to be Luke because I just thought if it's Luke Skywalker that walks in there, he will – if Luke Skywalker was the Jedi that Grogu called out to, he would be this overwhelming presence and distract from the whole thing and – the show would no longer – like, The Mandalorian would be kind of cool, but it's like, oh, but where's Luke? Because we saw The Mandalorian. He's fine, but I want to see more Luke Skywalker. Yeah. And so when the ship comes in, I my first reaction is, no, they're not doing this. And then as soon as he started destroying the shit out of Dark Troopers, my no, I can't believe they're not doing this in that tone changed to, no, I can't believe they're doing this. And it, like, just – naturally overcame me, and I couldn't control how I was reacting. My brain was like, you didn't want this to happen, but as it was happening, all I could think was, this is one of the most incredible Star Wars things I've ever seen.
It was awesome. So Luke Skywalker is probably one of my all-time favorite fictional characters, and I was excited, oh so excited, to see how, you know, him back in the sequel trilogy, and then wet fart noises happen instead. and so to actually get to see Luke Skywalker, you know, post Return of the Jedi.
Jedi Master Luke Skywalker
being the Jedi Master that he is supposed to be and completely wrecking, you know, shit was so cool to see. I didn't think that they'd do it. Like, I did not think it was going to be Luke. I thought it was going to be Ahsoka at first. Then I thought, you know, you can get some other random person and just say, you know, Luke's been training them for 5 years or
that's
whatever.
That's what I thought was going to happen.
As soon as I saw that green lightsaber, I was pretty much.
Well, you could tell by the X-wing. It was a Red Squadron X-wing. I mean, and the glove.
One lone X-wing. Yep.
The glove, and then, you know, if, you know, kind of going off, you know, so Zach does not feel so lonely going off the whole hyper nerd thing, I saw, like, I saw the lightsaber, and I'm like, that's the hilt for Luke Skywalker's lightsaber, because I know these things.
I thought that everything that they were doing with the glove, the green lightsaber, the X-Wing, all of that, I thought was like a red herring to get us excited. I was ready to be really disappointed. Because at first I'm like, okay, it's an X-Wing. And my first thought was it was those dudes from
That was my original thought, that it was like New Republic. I was saying to the people I was watching with, like, oh, the Popo are here.
Yeah, and then the Jedi, clearly a Jedi gets out. I'm like, oh, shit. I'm thinking, well, it's going to be – I thought maybe it was the one from a couple episodes back. She's from the animated
– Yeah, Ahsoka. Yeah.
I thought it might be her, and then I thought, okay – then I was with you, Mike. It's going to be someone that Luke trained, and that's why he's got a green lightsaber and blah, blah, blah. And then it was like
– Or, you know, they do some weird shit, and it turns out it's like pre-Kylo Ren Adam Driver or something.
Yeah, anything.
Like, yeah. He'd be at most 5 years old, so that's
– not going to be him, no.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the ass kicking started, and I was like, "Well, I don't know who this is. That's a bad dude right there."
Well, what I really liked, and granted, you know, this is not. I didn't really realize this until I saw a mashup on YouTube, but I thought it was. It's actually kind of interesting how there's obviously the hallway scene that Vader did in
Rogue One.
But there's also like. You know, the lesser known hallway scene where Anakin takes out the separatist leaders, right? In Mustafar in Revenge of the Sith. And I don't know if this is intentional. I don't know if maybe I'm just seeing patterns where there aren't any, but I thought it was really cool that like Luke's movements looked a lot like Vader / Anakin. It kind of read as the same sort of thing to me, which I thought was.
It would surprise me. From my perspective, I mean, I like Star Wars. I mean, I grew up loving Star Wars. I've kind of like faded. My interest in it has faded quite a bit over the years, just with the sequel trilogy being just really disappointing. In Rogue One, I did not particularly care for Solo. Was fine. But this was the first. This Mandalorian on the whole, I felt like was an incredibly massive step forward in rebuilding the goodwill between at least me and Star Wars, and I imagine a lot of fans feel that way. Into just simplifying the story and dumping a lot of this like politics and lore crap to just have a simple story of characters.
It's basically the man with no name in space, and that's all it really needs.
It's a western.
It's a stripped down space western, space samurai, roaming countryside. Yeah.
Right, and it's exactly like what George Lucas, you know, his original vision of Star Wars was just to sort of have these things he liked.
I like samurai movies. I like Western movies. I like World War II movies. What if we did them all in space, right? It was kind of the idea.
But there was one I really felt like – I'm sorry if this annoys anyone, but the Darksaber is stupid. And I don't.
The Darksaber is something that you're really only going to appreciate if you've watched Clone Wars.
And even like in cartoon form, it's still stupid.
Yeah.
Because like, what the hell is a black light supposed to look like?
Yeah. And why is it? And why is the blade like different than every other lightsaber?
I can accept that as like it was crafted by a Mandalorian to be more like a Mandalorian weapon, so it's different. But like, make it blue or green or whatever. Don't make it black. It's kind of silly.
The whole thing. The reason, like, okay, so I had this thought when I first saw the damn thing in Clone Wars, and my opinion has not changed. Is that by making it it's the black saber that is straight up edgy teenage.
So cool. Yeah.
That is straight up edgy teenage DeviantArt OC bullshit. And I did like how like the Mandalorian, you know, Mando's is sort of like. He didn't quite understand like the implications of just taking it from Gideon, right? He's just like, "Hey, look at this cool thing I got."
Yeah, I don't know. It was
It's like this was on him, and then it's like, "Oh shit, fuck."
Well, so the guy who was one of the showrunners along with Favreau, he wasn't he like the producer creator of like Rebels and Clone Wars and that stuff?
Yeah,
Dave Filoni.
Okay, and he seems like a really earnest like fan, and really like him and Favreau both like really seem to be.
Well, him and Favreau is just kind of like.
Well, Filoni, he was kind of handpicked by George Lucas off of Avatar: The Last Airbender, and Lucas kind of took him as his mentor or as his mentee to kind of guide, because the early Clone Wars seasons like they're George Lucas ideas, but they're all implemented via Filoni, and so Filoni has kind of taken on. he's absorbed George Lucas's powers, as it were, to be like the new head of what is the Star Wars universe.
Look, in the eyes of many fans. Look, all I'm saying is that I say this as someone who actually does like J.J. Abrams as a director, like broadly. Like, I like his movies, but like, this whole experience with The Mandalorian has convinced me that Favreau and Filoni just should have been in charge of Star Wars from the day that that Disney bought the damn thing. Like,
well, don't you think
they clearly get it? They clearly understand what people like about Star Wars. They clearly understand what people want to see. They know how to tell engaging stories in that universe. And
I think it's a good like mix between Favreau and because like Filoni. When left to his own devices, when in some of the Clone Wars episodes and Rebels episodes, like you can get pretty goddamn deep into the weeds of Star Wars.
But
Favreau is there to be just like, I'm the kid that grew up loving playing with the action figures, and so like I can pull us out of those weeds and keep this.
Before we start talking about like the fucking backstory to the goddamn, you know, MMORPG that no one plays, right?
They drop in references to – that's the thing that's great about the show is that it's kind of like canon unifying. Dropped in shit from the books, from the comic books, from the video games, from the cartoon shows, from all the movies, from like – just random Wikipedia articles. Like it's like
Favreau was browsing Wikipedia one night at like 2 a.m. It was like, huh, this is cool. I'm gonna write an episode about this.
Yeah, it's just it's pretty perfect. Now the whole show could take a interesting turn now because for the general public, you know, for the super casuals, this is the Baby Yoda show.
Sure, I love
it. Now we got
Yoda.
No more Baby Yoda because he's going to be off with
It's a tribe of two. It's a tribe of two. They'll be back. I mean, I'm not worried about the Mandalorian as a show. I'm not worried about. I'm more pissed. I'm pissed that the Razor Crest is gone. I like the Razor Crest a lot.
Mm-hmm. But I'm glad. Like, I'm pissed too. But I'm glad that they made that choice because, like, you know that they can't kill Baby Yoda. They can't kill Mando because that's what the show
is. Okay.
So, like, what's the next most beloved thing at this point to get rid of?
And to
75-year-old Boba Fett.
And to be fair, you know, everyone loved the Razor Crest, and it is an effective way to, you know, raise stakes. Be like, hey, this thing you liked, well, not died, but blew up. So could die / blow up. And
spent so much of the first half of the season treating it like garbage.
it's kind of fun.
It's finally fixed. Here we go. We're back on the ship, and it's gone.
And also, just for the record, Slave One is a bad ship. Boba Fett is a dumb character. I have no idea.
Stupid, right?
It looks really dumb.
So I wanted to talk about Boba Fett into two things.
Never liked that ship.
One. So the one is, regardless of what you feel about Boba Fett, I did love that post-credit sequence. One, we got to see what's his face. Bib Fortuna being a fat ass, which was fantastic. Yeah. And then, it's great because, like, and the show establishes it, right? Where, like, Jango was, like, a proper Mandalorian, and Boba just never took to that at all, and he's just kind of like, fuck this.
Well, because he's a clone, and so the rest of the Mandalorians don't recognize his clone.
Back up, though. I mean, what was the – okay, didn't Bib Fortuna fall into the fucking Sarlacc pit, too?
No,
because he was on Jabba's sail barge. He was on Jabba's sail barge, and maybe you say that when shit starts to go hairy.
Bib Fortuna does seem like the guy who, as soon as shit goes south, he's just going to hightail it out of there.
I could swear that one of the stupid re-edits that Lucas did, that he threw him in there, too.
Well, maybe in some version, but who the fuck keeps track of those?
It wasn't Bib Fortuna, because he was never outside. He was always inside.
Yeah, he doesn't look like a guy who wants to go outside.
So to go back to the Slave One thing, I will agree. My entire childhood, I thought the ship was stupid. I never understood how it worked. Like, it kind of looks neat, but it's a giant
iron.
Yeah,
it's an iron.
Right.
Yeah.
But then this show, something that it is amazing about it, in the background, if you're not like paying attention, the thing, like when they're inside the ship and he takes off, it's like, oh, it's a gyroscope.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that solves 40 years of questions.
It's still fucking stupid, but at least you know why now.
The other thing I wanted to ask about Boba Fett, right, is in general, and Andy, I know you said that you're not a big fan of Boba Fett, but I guess the question that I have, you know, for everyone is, like, when he showed up in the show, were you guys excited or not?
No. Not really.
I mean, I knew it was him pretty much right away.
I liked it better when what's his name? Raylan Givens was playing him.
Well, I mean, Timothy Olyphant was basically just being space Raylan Givens.
Right. Exactly.
By the way, like, I as a huge Deadwood fan, I marked the fuck out when I saw Timothy Olyphant there. He was great. I loved
it. Do you feel bad for Timothy Olyphant that no matter where his roles are set, in space or otherwise, he has to be a sheriff?
Yeah.
You're just missing his greatest role ever, which was the lead guitarist in Mark Wahlberg's band in Rockstar. Come on now.
Well, so Timothy Olyphant,
I didn't even know that was him. I'm like, holy fuck, that's Timothy. I was watching some stupid thing.
The whole thing, though, I guess I'm going to be the outlier here and say that I was excited to see Boba Fett in the season of Mandalorian. Not because I particularly love the character, but more so because, like, when, you know, the show that became The Mandalorian was originally in production as a Boba Fett show.
They were going to do a Boba Fett movie.
Yeah. Then that became a Boba Fett show, and then that became a show about a different Mandalorian, which is what we ended up getting. But, like, at the end of the day, hey, like him or not, and even if he's not, you know, technically a proper Mandalorian or not, like, Boba Fett is basically the casual audience's go-to, this is what a Mandalorian is. And I think that you kind of had to do it at some point, where if you're going to make a show about a different Mandalorian, you eventually have to have the point where he meets and interacts with Boba Fett. And I thought that the way that they did it was really good, because like Boba Fett is now, granted, Boba Fett is nowhere near the caliber of Luke Skywalker when it comes to being a character, but Boba Fett has enough fans that you could risk him overshadowing everything else. And I thought Boba was implemented in this show in a way where it was like kind of cool. He was there, but he never took over the show, which was good.
I'm glad I was Boba Fett in this show is kind of the ultimate culmination of 40 years of kind of waiting for it. We're like, we were told, and you kind of just see like, oh, Boba Fett, he's this badass mercenary. What does he do? Well, he stands there and points guns and
nods his head.
Yeah,
and then gets taken up by a blind man.
Yeah, it falls into a giant hole in the sand by a blind man, right.
Great character.
Well, right, and that's the thing.
Yeah, but then he sold, like, literally all the action figures, so.
But that's what I'm saying, is, like, you're looking down with, like, oh, that's a cool design, and he's a badass bounty hunter. But
mine was a cool guy that got shot by a blind guy and fell down.
I know, but what I'm saying is, you never got to see him actually, it's kind of like this Luke Skywalker thing, where you never got to see him actually be the badass, like, Luke obviously did, but we didn't get to see peak Luke. But it's like, we were always told all the shit about Boba Fett. And now it's like, oh, yeah, well, now he hears his dad. It's like, okay, that's fine, but it's not him. Well, but he's a kid. Yeah, I don't really care. He shows up very sparingly in the cartoon shows as like a teenager. But now here it's like, oh, here's Boba Fett doing Boba Fett shit and flying the Slave One and kicking the shit out of stormtroopers with their plastic armor. And I don't know. I liked it.
There's a mashup on YouTube of Boba Fett kicking the shit out of stormtroopers, like, mixed with the robot chicken Boba Fett dialogue, and it's fantastic. It's back from the dead, assholes!
I watched this thing where these special effects guys made Star Wars R-rated.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. Like, you know, in the scene in the very first one, the Phantom Menace, where Jar Jar, like shocks himself with the – and he pulls back and all that. Well, they made it so his head fucking exploded. And it was awesome. And, like, after Fett explodes, like, half of it falls down and lands on one of the pod racer things there. It's just – it's incredible.
So,
my last thing about Boba Fett, again, is that it's just, like, he was supposed to be cool. He sold action figures. And now he's – this is what he's supposed to be. And I'm fine with that.
Okay. So, why in the show – the whole thing is the giveaway was, I'm just a man making my way through the galaxy or whatever.
Right. Yeah, the same thing that Django said. Pretty good.
So, but then his ultimate goal is to sit on a throne in Jabba's palace.
Well, he's
on fucking Tatooine.
I think his whole thing, right?
I want to go to Nebraska.
His whole thing is that he doesn't give a shit about the whole Mandalorian thing. So it's like, we could use you to retake Mandalore. He's like, ha, fucking nerds, whatever.
Yeah, okay, he doesn't. He's out to repay all of his debts from, you know, 5 years ago. Because here's the thing: even growing up, I didn't like the idea. Like, I saw Boba Fett fall in the hole.
Yeah.
Okay, he should be dead. But it's also just been a long-standing Star Wars EU thing where people kept trying to revive him and they brought him out of the stupid hole and whatever. So did I particularly want Boba Fett back? Did I want him to kind of just stay dead and you can fill in the old years with some other young Boba Fett show or whatever? Yeah. But I think I kind of like what they did where he loses the armor. He has to like fight for it back. He has some sort of mission that he's trying to do for himself. And I don't know.
If there
is one thing about this entire season that you could take out and it'd be perfectly okay, like when it comes to the callbacks to the original stuff, the Boba Fett stuff is pretty easily removable.
I like Boba Fett going to, you know, taking over Jabba's throne or, you know, Jabba's palace or Jabba's crime syndicate or whatever, because that just seems like if you're going to bring Boba Fett back and he's going to have something to do, that seems like something that he would do. He's not going to give a shit about Mandalorian culture or politics. He doesn't really care about Baby Yoda or, you know, Jin's situation beyond, what he immediately needs out of it. So the idea that he would just be like, hey, I got contacts on Tatooine. I'm going to take over this crime syndicate from fat ass Bib Fortuna. Like, that seems like it works. Like, that is what he'd do. So I'm fine. And the good news.
And the from what I understand, too, before the whole Boba Fett movie, like, evolution, one of George Lucas's final projects that he wanted to have made was this thing called Star Wars Underworld, where it was going to follow kind of like the scum and villainy, the bounty hunters and the scam artists of the universe and kind of like the seedier parts of the Star Wars galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that whole thing was going to be following Boba Fett, like dealing with the scum and being a bounty hunter and that whole thing. So this is kind of born out of that, which I think, again, the thing that Star Wars needs to do, and there were plenty of complaints from people, like the only complaints I really saw about the finale were people saying, oh, they threw another Skywalker at the problem again. Ugh, screw this. And it's like, well, Luke made sense. I accept it. But like, I also agree that the thing that was so great about the show is that it seemed to be kind of peeling away from that stuff and going into other corners of the universe.
But at the same
time,
what I think
a Boba Fett show could do is really fill in those unexplored areas of Star Wars that we can
At the same time, though, it's like to those people complaining about, you know, Luke coming back, it's like Luke Skywalker is not going to be a regular character on this show. So,
well, but that's CGI. He definitely isn't. No.
So if anyone is like, oh, you know, they threw Luke Skywalker at it. It's like, get over yourselves. It was like a one episode thing. He's probably not going to come back. And also to, you know, people who were complaining about it, I'm sorry people had fun, you know?
Well, so here's a complaint I had. And it was me and my wife were watching this. I kind of was saying the same thing that, you know, the main reason why that Luke was deposited on Tatooine was because of this. It was this nothing planet on the fringe, outer fringes. Nobody goes there for any reason. Yeah. And it was just this unsuspecting place, a desert wasteland. Nobody wants to go there. Nobody wants to be there. And yet everybody in this fucking show apparently wants to go to Tatooine all the time for all the reasons. And I get it. Like there was a lot of interesting spreading out during the show. Cause I can't remember what planet it was. The foresty, dark, gritty planet where it was like a samurai episode from season two.
Yeah.
With your face. I cannot remember any of the characters' names.
The one where he finds Ahsoka,
Ahsoka, yes. Yes, that was excellent.
Caladan, I think. I don't know. That's the one thing I will say about this season too. They did a lot of like nonsense sci-fi talk, which is fine, but like it's like, "Oh, you're a blankety blank of the like, oh, I as much as I enjoy filling in the universe, stop trying to make Dank Ferrick happen. Don't make up Star Wars curse words and like repeat them 8 times.
Dank, yeah. Look, Star Wars. Yeah. Star Wars names have always been suspect at the best of times.
Yeah, but like, sorry, but go on with what you were talking about.
I had mixed feelings about seeing. Yeah, Tatooine. I mean, it's fine. I get it. There's a lot of nostalgia there for a lot of people.
Yeah, I think it's also just they talked about they're in the Outer Rim. That's kind of where they're trying to operate. They don't want to be in the core of the New Republic, and so they're out in the Outer Rim, and they're also kind of running into what seems to be the little spark of the First Order, if that's what this whole Empire Remnant thing is out here.
Raylan Givens was on Tatooine, right? Star Wars. Yes. Raylan Givens. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it's kind of like he first went there last season. What was he doing there? He was trying to collect a bounty. Well, I think he just was familiar with Tatooine, knew that he could get some off, like, non-guild bounty work there. And so he went there to do that, got his money, and then got away. And then he has to go back because he's like, I've been to Tatooine plenty of times. I didn't know about this, but that's where Boba Fett is. You got to send him back to go get Boba Fett involved in the story somehow. And then you make a cool character in Cobb Vanth, the sheriff, and they take on a dragon and you learn more about the Sand People. It's like I was concerned when they went to Tatooine last season because it was like, oh yeah, you know, you're going to go in the bar and this dumb hotshot kid sitting in Han's booth, blah, blah. Like, okay. I didn't really care for that Tatooine episode, but I'm fine with the inclusions this season. And I mean, where else is Boba Fett going to go? Like, the first place I would go if I was them was straight back to Jabba's, the people that screwed me over last, left me for dead in a, you know,
that's a good point.
Animal pit. So,
right. It wasn't objectionable. I rolled my eyes a little bit, but it's not like I turned it off or anything. You know, it's just sort of one of those things where it's like, this show takes place in space. And yet it takes place really in like 7 planets and there's no other variety. And I mean, whatever. The show is fun and I enjoyed it. And Luke being in a part of it is interesting, but I don't want them to keep circling, you know, the Skywalker saga into it. I know it takes place, you know, in the area between the sequel trilogy.
5 years after Return of the Jedi.
And how many years was it between those in canon?
As much as there was IRL, like whatever the difference was between Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens,
33 years, I think.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I mean, there's a lot of ground to cover.
But I mean, there's a lot. Although I think it would be hilarious, you know, Zach, if this is like sort of like the beginnings of the First Order, if we eventually just like. Bullshitting ideas, but like just the idea of like Snoke shows up, but they keep cutting back to like Palpatine in his VR headset trying to control him.
Yeah, I enjoy that it's sprinkled in as like a thing that's on the horizon, but it is definitely not something that I want the show to turn into. Now, like the problem is like you have Gideon talking about order to the galaxy, and then you have the what was that, episode 4 when they go back to Navarro and they have all they take down the Imperial lab. And there's a bunch of clones and tubes. They're talking about taking Grogu, Baby Yoda's M counts from him. And it's like, I see what you're doing. And I understand you need to lay some sort of connective tissue around, but do not make this show about that. Like, I don't need him. I don't want to see Snoke in the show. I don't want to see the First Order in the show, really.
Yeah, they keep alluding to it. They keep alluding to this whole, like, there will be order in the game.
I think they kind of have to just because
sequel
trilogy happened and it's like they kind of have to be like, okay, this is we're going to lay some groundwork here. But like, again, there's 33 years between the end of Return of the Jedi and the start of The Force Awakens. So they can do they could probably do a full run of the show, like let's just say like 7 seasons. That's like a good healthy run for a show.
I think we should retcon those last 3 movies right out.
Well, that's not going to happen.
They can't though. It's all really under, like Disney did it for everything that wasn't like on film essentially before they took over, And they're making everything Disney does now is canon. The video games have been canon. The books are canon. The comic books are canon. They're not going to write any of this stuff.
Like my point is like seven seasons. That's usually good enough. That's like a really healthy run, right?
An incredible run, really.
Say they do like seven seasons. Like you could do that. Only takes you to like 12 years post Return of the Jedi. You could do a full seven season run of The Mandalorian and not even get to like Snoke's arrival in the timeline. So it's completely fine. They're not gonna jump into the first order stuff. I'm pretty sure. I just think like the shots of clones and like all the talk about order is just, you know, them sprinkling some tiny little connective tissue just so
I really hope
see
that's it.
Because yeah. I want to say too that not only was the finale of season two great, it answered one of the all time great sci-fi questions ever posed. What happened to Starbuck at the end of Battlestar Galactica?
Now we know.
She's a Mandalorian
She became a Mandalorian, yeah.
I got one of the bigger surprises.
She was the voice actor of the character in the cartoon show.
And I've got to say, like, this is hyper nerd Mike talking, but whatever. I thought it was cool as hell to see some of these characters from like the animated shows actually exist in real life. And
like I said before,
fuck you.
It's an entirely canon unifying property. Like, as stupid as it is, like, you know, in episode 3, Bo-Katan shows up to save him.
Yeah.
And, like, I knew she was coming because I knew about the casting things. Mm-hmm. But even when I saw her, I'm like, holy shit, it's a real Bo-Katan. And then like later in the episode, Bo-Katan says the words Ahsoka Tano, and I'm like, this is fucking incredible.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's legitimizing these things. Because for years, it's like, oh, those are cartoon shows. They don't really matter. It's like, they shouldn't matter too much to some degree because you still want people that have watched the original movies to still be able to like follow this stuff. But when they do stuff like that, it's like, wow, the time I put in to like watch all that crap sort of matters to a degree.
Now, I will say this. I will say this as someone who originally went to bat to defend Rebels. I could live perfectly well if they never made live action Ezra, because
he
is a character started to piss me off. So fuck that guy.
But, yeah, I assume we know Greg hasn't, and I can assume Andy hasn't with the cartoons, but don't want to go too far down that road. But please, I think we're probably going to see that, Mike, because what it looks like is happening, from what I understand, going forward with the Mando, you have Book of Boba Fett coming December 2021.
Which is its own show. It's not.
Which is a separate show. And then additionally alongside it, you're going to have Mando Season 3 in 2022. Mm-hmm. You're going to have the Ahsoka show, which they've said is set in the timeline of The Mandalorian.
God,
and then the Rangers of the New Republic, which is also set in the timeline of The Mandalorian.
Ah.
And supposedly, all of that would tie into some like events where all those three shows kind of converge onto one thing.
And don't forget, you got to work Melinda May and the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
So basically, Favreau's just doing the MCU shit.
Just can't things just be what they are without this? Does everything need to be a fucking extended universe?
No.
Fuck you. Like,
but
I can have a show with Bill Burr just wandering around that jungle planet. Just being
Tell me you wouldn't watch the shit out of Space Bill Burr just.
Oh, fuck yeah. I'd be all over that.
Wandering around jungle planet. All right. That would be amazing. I'd watch that.
I was out on Space Boston last season. I was in on Space Boston this season. He redeemed himself quite well.
He was fine. It was. I didn't mind it at all.
Better yet, Bill Burr's character just goes back to his home planet, aka Space Boston, and we just have a show set in Space Boston.
Sure, fine.
If this is,
and they're dealing
with
Space Tom Brady leaving the Space Patriots. Okay.
I mean, I really have no interest in anything where it's going to be like, well, you can't get the full experience unless you watch like these 18 other shows, because then there's this big payoff where they all come together and holy shit, like it's a big like whoa, like mark out nerd moment. It's like, no. First of all, the Rebels show and the whatever it is, Clone Wars, those shows look they look terrible. The animation looks awful and childish and dumb. I will not watch it. I'm not done.
Sir.
I'm not going to watch it. If they come out with both, that show, I'm not going to watch it. This other, I mean, I'm sure there'll be other decent shows that are fine, but like, I'm not going to fucking watch half these things.
That Boba Fett show, I'm not watching it either.
The obligation of me to like be in on what's going on by giving 30 hours of my life a week to watching Star Wars poor shit just to like get that one payoff moment. Like, can't The Mandalorian just be its own sweet show and I don't have to, like, be on the inn for this other stuff?
Here's my thing where I think you're still going to be okay. While if that's a rumor, it may not actually be, like, true, but it seems like that would be the case just because of Rebel stuff that Mike and I know about.
Right.
The finale of that. It's probably right. But here's my thought.
Space Aladdin can go fuck himself.
Yeah. But see, all this extra stuff that Mike and I are talking about when it comes to either whether it's Bo-Katan, whether it's the Ahsoka stuff, whether it's them dropping Where's Grand Admiral Thrawn, like all this stuff is extra, and it's not necessary to enjoy The Mandalorian as it is, right?
Yeah.
And I think they've done a really good job of connecting the entire universe into this show, but also leaving this show kind of on its own track. So I think like it's gonna happen because of the MCU success. This is just what's gonna happen. Like everything will be this way until it fails. I mean, you could say that DC's already failed with that.
Oh, you want to talk about universe failure? Dark Universe. Right? At least DC got more than one movie into it.
Which, by the way, watch Wonder Woman 84. It's fine.
I've heard it's bad.
I liked it. I liked it.
I heard it was really bad.
It was fun, but it's kind of a mess. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but
I actually just saw it today. I liked it. So
yeah. Why can't I don't look? We're running way long here, but why can't DC get their shit together and make one decent fucking movie?
Well, they made the first Wonder Woman.
First Wonder Woman was good.
For a DC movie, it was good.
Aquaman was fun. Shazam was fun.
I haven't seen Shazam. Aquaman was stupid. I'm sorry. That was fuck all stupid. I'm just sorry.
But so was Aquaman. And they
Aquaman is a dumb character.
We've discussed this before. You're absolutely right.
So the only thing they could have done to make the Aquaman movie better is if they actually gave him his fucking jet ski.
No, I think they should have said, like Jason Momoa, let him live out real life. Go fuck it. I'm getting on a Harley and I'm gone. Fuck this ocean. I'll see you later. Atlantis, you're on your own.
I don't want to spoil it, but it's like I do like that. The DC movies are now leaning into. There are some things where it's like that's stupid. It doesn't make sense, and it's like, yeah, but here we're going to show it to you anyway. Like, you know exactly what I'm talking about, Mike, right?
Yes.
Okay. It's just like I like that they're like, dude, you can. I mean,